오늘은 여러분과 함께 진실과 축복이라는 제목으로 말씀을
I'm delivering a message under the title Truth and Blessings. So when we want to confirm some facts, we often use the following expression. Is that for sure? Or is that true? By asking, is that for sure? We try to check whether something is a fact or not. And by asking, is that true? We can confirm whether something is the truth or not. To sum up, we ask these questions to confirm either a fact or the truth. A fact and the truth could be seen as the same words, but there definitely is a difference. A fact is an event that occurred or is occurring, while the truth is a fact without deceit or falsehood. A fact is only about a phenomenon revealed on the outside, while the truth includes what is not revealed and what is hidden behind the fact. So to speak, a fact is only about physical phenomenon, and the truth includes its true essence. For example, while Korea was under the Japanese colonial rule during the Berlin Olympics, the gold and bronze medalists of marathon event looked depressed on the medal podium during the medal ceremony. By the way, you know, athletes on the medal podium, they look so overjoyed. But these two medalists looked so depressed standing on the medal podium. The world praised Japan for winning two medals, gold and bronze, in the marathon event. Is that true? Is this a fact or is this a truth? This is a fact that Japan won two medals, but the truth is, the two medalists were actually Koreans. That's how a truth and a fact are different. You know, while I was on a short-term mission trip to Kenya, Pastor Myung-ho Chung assigned me a duty to share the gospel with the locals to form a new cell group. Because I didn't know the local language, which is Swahili, you know, so that's why I had to speak in English. Even though I was not that fluent, but still I had to speak in English. So I was accompanied by a young Kenyan. So in preaching the gospel, I often started off by asking this question. I pointed at the heaven and asked, how many heavens do you think God created in the beginning? That's how I started off. And most people's answer was one. But one day, after I asked the same question, I quoted the English verse of Genesis chapter 1 and 1. It says, God created the heavens and the earth. I was astonished. I was very startled. Because the English version of that verse said heavens, not heaven. I remember Senior Pastor saying that God created four heavens, but the English version of the Genesis 1 and 1, you know, the NIV version, which is the most used ones, referred to heaven in a plural form. Also, an SAB version, which is the closest version to the original Hebrew, also referred to heaven in a plural form. But you know, the King James Version refers to heaven in a singular form. To confirm this, I looked at the Hebrew Bible and found that it referred to heaven as Shamayim, which is a plural form of Shime. You know, in Korean version, we just say God created the heaven. But, you know, the English and Hebrew versions of the Bible refer to heaven as heavens in a plural form. You know, for example, Hebrew Bible refers to heaven as Shamayim in a plural form. Even the Hebrew Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. This is amazing because as we heard from senior pastor, in the Bible, there are many places where heaven is referred to as in a plural form. About 10 years ago, while I was adjusting to Mammin Church, and I realized that how true the gospel of holiness is. You know, the very first verse of all the verses in the Bible states that God created several heavens. So if anyone who are watching this service, please realize that Manmin is true. I want to proclaim to these people who are watching this service. So I researched it more. You know, but in other churches, they do know that heaven is referred to. But in many parts of the Bible, in Nehemiah and 1 Kings, so what we hear and see and smell, according to what we see, physically see, the heaven is one. But the truth is, there are four heavens. So that's how we can discern between truth and a fact. So we shouldn't live only based on what we physically see and hear, but we have to learn to look at the truth. And we also should lead a truthful life. So back to the point. Let's talk about what we should do to figure out the truth and lead a truthful life. To lead a truthful life, we should make a distinction between a fact and the truth. You know, today's passage is a psalm of David while he was on the run during his son Absalom's rebellion. He was in such a desperate situation. In this psalm, he commented about those who rebelled against him, saying, he talked about the rebels and said, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance from him in God. So many people at the time claimed that God left from David and God will be with Absalom. That's what they claimed. Yes, this was a truth. This was a fact. David's own son rebelled against David, drove him out, and robbed him of the royal throne. David barely saved his life and ran away in bare feet, and his people bitterly wept, beating the ground with his hand. So according to what people saw and heard, God was not helping David. But the truth was different from the fact that I just mentioned. You know, if we refer back to Senior Pastor's sermon series, Goodness, particularly his the session on David's goodness, we find out that because David had a good inner heart, God wanted to bring him to New Jerusalem. So to completely cleanse him of the traces of evil remaining in his nature, he permitted him to go through such afflictions and trials. So, brothers and sisters, God is leading him to the most beautiful dwelling place in heaven, New Jerusalem. That's why he allowed David to face such rebellions. So, answer me, was God helping David or not? God was helping David, wasn't he? But people who didn't know the truth, they judged him only based on what they see and hear physically. Because David communicated with God in depth, he figured out this truth. So even while he was in a miserable situation where he fled away from his son, he confessed, "But you, O Lord, our shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head." David never complained like, "Oh Lord, you don't protect me. You dishonor me and destroy me." Instead, he said, even while he was on the run, "God is the one who helps me. He is my strength, and he makes me triumphant. He is my glory." That's how he discovered the truth and makes that kind of confession. By God's guidance, I've been lecturing at the theological seminary starting from this semester. As the students and I were exploring the seven churches in the Revelation, I was inspired. We are aware that after preaching the gospel, the Apostle John was arrested and banished to the island of Patmos, which But, you know, after preaching the gospel, John was arrested and banished to Patmos Island. We find in Revelation chapter 1, 9 that John on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. The Bible didn't say that he was banished or exiled to the island. So theologians and pastors who research the Bible easily conclude that John was exiled to Patmos. This is a fact. But the truth is, God says that John went to the island of Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Even Sina Pastor also, in order to receive revelation, he went to a secluded place in Gangwon province. In the same way, God led John to the island of Patmos. It wasn't because Apostle John was a sinner. So we have to know that there are many differences between the truth and a fact. And so we have to discover what is the truth and figure out what is the truth and lead a truthful life. In my previous sermon, I confess that I was healed of my disease in the prayer location, and I came back home. But I continually coughed and spat out phlegm. Hearing my coughing, my mother said, "Your coughing sounds unusual. Were you really healed?" I was taken aback. Actually, my mother was overjoyed when I told her that I'd been healed at the prayer location. But she was concerned hearing my coughing and spitting out phlegm. So whenever I was about to cough, I covered up my mouth so that she didn't hear. It was a fact that, I obviously experienced God's work. I was healed. You know, the Bible says that we are healed because of His scourging. But I continually coughed and spat out phlegm. Actually, my coughing and spitting out phlegm was a fact. But the truth is, God was allowing that situation so that I could grow more in faith and to heal me perfectly. Actually, enemy, devil, and Satan was bringing me doubts. So I discovered the truth. And whenever I was about to cough or spit out phlegm, I ran over to the bathroom and spat out the phlegm into the toilet. And I said, "Enemy devil, this phlegm is not mine. You, enemy devil, take it away. It's yours." That's how I proclaimed. Because I didn't know the spiritual realm deeply, I said that way. So I struggled with that situation for over 20 years. And then the coughing and spitting out of phlegm completely stopped. You know, people out in the world say this and that about our church. But what they claim and what they say is not truth. What's the truth? God is helping senior pastor attain to 100 point of the power of recreation. God is helping Mom Min. God has never left Mom Min. So that we can... God is helping and preparing us to become a church of God's power that saves the souls all over the world. To fulfill the providence of human cultivation and to glorify God and to take greater steps forward, we are just taking one step back. This is the truth. Those who make distinctions between truth and effect lead a truthful life so they can be victorious in their physical life as well. So, in order for us to receive answers and blessings in the physical world, first, we have to be victorious in the spiritual battle first. So, right after we are victorious in the spiritual battle, we can be blessed in our physical life. You know, in our Lord's Prayer, we recite that just as your will is accomplished in heaven, it is accomplished on earth as well. So today's passage says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have smitten all the enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people." That's how David joyfully shouted. Even though David was in a wretched and miserable situation, he knew that God was helping himself. He knew that this was the truth. So he was asking God for help. So how do you think David could ask God in such a boldly way? It's because he knew that God had smitten all his enemies on the cheek and shattered the teeth of the wicked. In the King James Version, of the cheekbone is mentioned instead of cheek. But in NIV and NASB versions, cheek is mentioned. You know, NIV and NASB versions are very... You know, here, enemies and the wicked are the enemy devil. In Genesis, after Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge, God said that the descendants of the woman will damage your head. So David has such inspiration that God was destroying. God knew that behind Absalom's rebellion was enemy devil. And God already defeated the enemy devil. We have to note that in the verse, David used the words smite and shatter in a past tense, which indicates that God had already defeated the enemy devil and his enemies. So we are nowadays praying hard. So, but we have to know that we don't always get answers just by praying or finishing the vowed prayer period. Only after we win the spiritual battle first can we get His answers. When we are about to receive His answers, first we begin to have conviction of His answers. We overflow with gratitude and joy. But, you know, if we feel depressed and if we have hatred against others, if we feel our pride being hurt, that means we are losing in the spiritual battle. We have to be victorious in the spiritual battle first. Only then answers and blessings come. While we are going through this situation, I wondered what is going on in the spiritual realm regarding our church. And while I was praying, I was reminded of Daniel's 21-day prayer featured in chapter 10 of the book of Daniel. When Daniel found out that Israel would suffer captivity in Babylon for 70 years, Israel had already been held captive for 68 years. You know, David was taken captive to Babylon when he was young, and already 68 years have passed. So there were only 2 years left for their captivity to finish. But except for Daniel, no one among the Israelites were aware of this fact and praying about this. So even though he was 80 years of age, Daniel fasted and prayed for his country. There was no answer when he'd been praying for 5, 10, and 15 days. But on the 21st day, the archangel Gabriel came with the answer and explained the reason why he came late. He said, "Don't be afraid, Daniel, For from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words. On the very first day in the spiritual realm, his prayer was answered. But to Daniel praying on this earth, it arrived in 21 days. The reason is, but the prince of the kingdom of the Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. You know, as I checked the Chinese Bible, I found that the translation is more accurate. The English Bible refers to that as prince. The prince of Persia signifies the enemy devil which took control of the air. That was like, then the archangel Gabriel said, "Do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come." Here, the Archangel Gabriel also talks about the Prince of Greece. I also checked that verse with the Chinese Bible. The Chinese version of that verse was accurate as well. Princes of Persia and Greece is translated as the devils ruling Persia and Greece. It used the word devil. To sum up, from the first day David began praying for his country's independence, spiritual battle went on. So, when we preach the gospel to a certain nation, we have to first drive out the enemy devil, which is ruling the air, because they are ruling. So if these devils are driven away, because these devils were holding control of Persia, because the enemy devil knew that by Daniel's prayer, the enemy devil would be driven away, that's why they interfere. So as a result, Daniel's 21-day prayer drove away the enemy devil in the air. So our beloved senior pastor is there. What do you think he's doing now? He said, once he comes, he has to accomplish the world evangelization. There are, you know, about 231 countries in the world. You know, for the independence of a single country, David offered up such prayer. But we have to evangelize 231 nations. We have to drive away the enemy devil holding control over those nations. Right? So that's what Senior Pastor is doing. And so he's fighting against the enemy devil, holding control over all the nations of the earth. And Archangel Gabriel is coming down with the power of recreation As I looked at the chapter 10 of the book of Daniel, I had such... So I decided to urge you to wait more. So after he drives away all the enemy devil ruling control over them, he will come back. So I ask you to wait more. God has already, Jesus has already defeated the enemy devil. He already won the fiercest battle by being crucified and by resurrecting. On the third day, the power of death was already shattered. So we are fighting the battle which was already won by our Lord. So the power of death was shattered by our Lord's resurrection, but that doesn't mean all the powers of the devil were shattered. They still have powers of bringing diseases, provoking dissension and discourse, and bringing tribulations. So, because we are fighting the fight which was already won, and so while we are praying, we may find ourselves where our prayers are not answered. And because the victory is ours, and our Lord has already won victory, we shouldn't be disappointed. Let me talk about a family. I apologize to translators because I corrected the script a little bit. So, let's say a huge baseball fan missed out on his country's crucial match because he's tied up with work. So, he had his son videotape that match so that he could watch it at least later on. As the son handed the videotape to his father, he said, "Dad, our team struggled in the beginning, but the game turned around and we won." You know, while watching that recorded match, do you think this baseball fan would get frustrated to see what's going on in the beginning? Do you think he would get so annoyed and just turn off the TV? No. Do you think he would do so? Because he already knows that his team won. His son told him. Instead, he would be thrilled. He would be thrilled to know when the game turned around, because he knows that the game... He would never turn off that TV because he knows that result. But he would be so thrilled to know when the turnaround will happen. And one of the baseball players, one of the players hits home run, and the game had a great reversal. So while we are running towards our goal, we may feel frustrated and feel worn out, but please believe that the works of great reversal will happen, and we will receive the answer of power recreation, and the angel Gabriel will bring down that answer to senior pastor. So spiritually, in the spiritual realm, spiritual realm is like a battlefront, and in this physical world, back in the elementary school, we used to send gifts and letters to soldiers. But now we are off the battlefront, and we have Gabriel Angel fighting in the battlefront. So we have to send our letters to Archangel Gabriel. You know, we can do so by praying fervently and staying faithful and achieving goodness and love. That's how we can send our gifts and letters to the soldiers fighting in the battlefront, in the spiritual realm. Third, true peace descends upon those who are leading a truthful life. You know, those who lead a truthful life have true peace coming upon them. Those people are victorious in their spiritual battle and receive physical answers as well, thereby having true peace come upon them. David confessed in today's passage, "I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about." While he was running away from the rebels, he must have been hearing his people moaning in despair and his soldiers fighting. He was in a life-threatening situation. But he was so calm and peaceful, and he slept well. Where do you think this peace come from? Obviously, it's from God. You know, there could be several ways to gain peace. But we have to check whether that peace is true peace or not. There is a Latin word, Pax Romana. Pax means peace, and Romana means Roman. This refers to a period of peace and stability during the reign of Emperor Augustus, as the Roman Empire subdued and conquered other nations with its enormous military power. There were no wars, and the world was seemingly in peace. Do you think this is a true peace? We cannot call that a true peace. There is another term, Pax Americana, which means American peace. This refers to the United States having brought peace in the world with its superpower following the Second World War. Also, we can say the world is in peace in a true sense. So, we can think of this word, Pax Christ, meaning peace coming from Christ. This is not outward peace caused by military or economic power, but this is inward peace that cannot be taken away regardless of environments or circumstances. This is the kind of peace that our Lord gives. This peace is mentioned in John chapter 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." John chapter 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Here, our Lord advises us not to lose peace in tribulations or persecutions, and not to lose joy and thanksgiving. This is the kind of peace that our Lord and God gives. You know, a Christian organization hosted an event where people draw paintings depicting peace. Some participants received awards for their paintings depicting clouds floating in the sky, a stream of water, flowers blooming, and kids playing with their puppies, etc. But the grand prize went to a participant who described a stormy sea of thunders and flashes of lightning and a bird hiding itself in the crevice of a cliff, hiding itself from violent winds and rain. This is associated with our being in peace by looking to our Lord even amidst raging waves and violent storms. So the participant who draw that received the grand prize. You know, so we can, by dwelling in our Lord, we can receive comfort and peace. But we can go more than that. We can go beyond that. How better it would be if we receive power. If we can make all the waves and storms go away by God's power, that would be much better. You know, when our Lord was in a boat with His disciples, there was stormy sea. So the disciples were afraid and waked Him up. Lord, please wake up, and we are about to die. At this point, our Lord didn't just jump into the water and swim across before the instead, Jesus rebuked the wind and the sea, and everything became calm and peaceful. He controlled the situation with power. Before I came to Mamin Church, I was serving at a different denomination. I was serving in a church in a local city. It was a church which had a membership of over 200 people. Also, when I was, you know, serving at a different denomination, I gave a lecture at a seminary. Because my church was the biggest one in that region, I was assigned to give a lecture on church growth. In my lecture, I remember saying that according to statistics, churches that have revivals and grow fast have their own merits. Some churches enjoy revival through discipleship training, others through divine healing works, and still others through dawn prayer campaigns. There are also churches that emphasize missionary outreach efforts. In this regard, for Mamin Church to have greater revival, we should strengthen our own merits that other churches don't have. What do you think are the merits? What do you think are our merits? There are three things. First, it is manifestations of power. We have manifestations of power which other churches cannot imitate. Second is the gospel of sanctification, which is confirmed by the manifestations of power. And third, it's Daniel prayer meeting. While I was ministering at the previous church, I also tried to get my church members to pray more. so that they can receive blessings and answers? I visited big churches to learn how their members pray and check how they run prayer rooms. So I divided my church members into several groups, assigned a specific amount of time, and had them take turns praying. Yet, it didn't work well, actually. It was, those methods were not successful. By the way, after I came to this church, so, honestly, after I came to this church, even as a pastor, honestly, I dozed off so often. This prayer meeting, Daniel prayer meeting, is our specialty. No one can doubt that it's our specialty. Those three things, if they are summed up, it is so, whenever we have meetings, we should emphasize power. Even when we have prayer meetings, we should have power. Even when we have praise meetings or other kinds of meetings or prayer meetings, we should have power. Power should be manifested. Back when I was in my 30s, I was serving in a church in a local city. I had an urgent call. I received an urgent call. She said, one of the deaconesses in my church had a little daughter. So while crawling around in the room, she accidentally swallowed something. So I visited her house and I held her upside down and prayed for her. But even though I prayed earnestly for her, crying out, "God, please save her," I cried with tears. But I could feel her body turning cold, and finally, she died. If I had known about God's power or handkerchief, if I had known about you know, we in this church, we have a testimony of a young man who, when he was young, he swallowed a grain of grape, but after receiving senior pastor's recorded prayer, the grain of grape was gone and he survived. So, in the same way, if I had known about that, if I had known about God's power, I could have saved that baby. I felt so helpless in that situation. But we, Mammin, have power. We have manifestations of power. And we... Today, so while preparing for this sermon, I prayed to ask God how I could wrap up this sermon. And then I was inspired to make a greater confession of faith than the Gentiles. I wonder what that means. As I pondered about this, Daniel chapter 6 came to mind. The prefects and satraps of Babylon consulted together to issue a statute to harm David and receive the king's approval. They craftily tried to make an opportunity out of Daniel's good faith. And Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and King Darius knew that he was deceived. It was part of their evil plot. to kill Daniel. But it was too late. Daniel was already thrown into the lion's den. But King Darius, even though he was a Gentile who served a foreign god, he proclaimed, do you think, he said, your God whom you constantly serve will himself deliver you. That's what he said to Daniel. He said to Daniel, your God whom you constantly serve will himself deliver you. King Darius proclaimed that way. He proclaimed that God, whom Daniel served, will save him. So, what kind of confession we should make? We have to proclaim like God, whom our senior pastor serve and whom Mamin serve, will surely bring him back and caused a work of great reversal to happen. Shouldn't we make that kind of confession? We should surely accomplish the construction of Canaan and grand sanctuaries. That's how we should shout and proclaim. We should make a greater confession of faith than a Gentile makes. I urge you to do so.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.